My father-in-law, Joe Pihaw, was a true mensch. A mensch is defined as a person of honor and integrity. Joe fit that definition in every sense of the word. He was truly the nicest man I ever met, and I really mean that. One of Joe's favorite sayings was, just kill them with kindness, and that's exactly how Joe treated everyone he ever met in his life, with sincere kindness. I first met Joe in 1970 when I started dating his oldest daughter, Marcia. I really felt like Joe liked me right from the start, but he did have a few serious questions for me. Like, Doug, what was your last name again? And I said, Wibiot. He said, Wibiot? Is that a Jewish name? Or he'd say, Doug, I haven't met too many Jews with blonde hair and blue eyes. Are you sure you're Jewish? So at that point, I offered to show my circumcision. But Joe just laughed and he said, that's okay, Doug, I'll take your word for it. In the 70s, my father-in-law-to-be was a clean-cut, shirt and tie Boeing engineer. And I was a long-haired 60 college kid who wore torn Levi's and moccasins. So we were opposites in many ways, but strangely enough, we were the same in many ways as well. And I'll have to say, in over 41 years of being Joe's son-in-law, I never once had an argument with the man. Never once. He was a gentle, kind man who was easy to like and get along with. As I said before, Joe was an engineer at Boeing for well over 40 years. He would always tell the family how great the Boeing company was, and they built the best airplanes in the world. There was always one thing that bothered me, though, just a bit. Joe hated to fly. So the man is a quality control engineer at Boeing, and he doesn't like to fly. Kind of makes you think a bit, if you know what I mean. But when Joe did fly, it was always on a Boeing aircraft. My father-in-law was an engineer and a really smart man. Not only was he book smart, he was also life smart. Probably the best lesson Joe taught all of us was to try and just keep life simple. Joe didn't like complications. He liked just the simple things, and he knew what was really important. The most important thing to Joe was his family. He was an incredible son to his mother, Victoria. He was an incredible husband to his wife, Esther, for over 65 years. He was a wonderful father to Marcia and Joyce. He was a terrific brother, uncle, grandfather, and great-grandfather. And he left quite a legacy. And he was as good a father-in-law as a guy could ever dream of. Yes, Joe Pihaw was a true mensch, and we will all miss him very, very much. And we all loved him very, very much. On behalf of the whole family, I would like to conclude by thanking each and every one of you for attending Joe's funeral today. I'd especially like to thank all the Menashe cousins who came up here from Portland today. Joe really loved you guys, and I know he appreciates you being here because his spirit is with us as well. I would also like to thank the incredible, passionate, caring, and dedicated staff at the Klein-Gallen Home. We honestly can't thank you enough for all the loving care you gave to our dear Joe Pihaw during his entire stay at the Klein. We are all very fortunate to have such a wonderful institution in our lives. From my mother-in-law, Esther, from my wife, Marcia, and from my sister-in-law, Joyce, and from the entire family, thank you all for being here. Thank you, rabbis, Cantor Carolyn, Rabbi Wiener, everybody that came for this funeral, and we appreciate your attendance. Thank you.
Please now call upon granddaughter Stephanie Harris to say a few words.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Harris, Joe's oldest granddaughter. Myself, my husband Tony, my brother David, and his wife Kristen, my cousins Jennifer and Leslie had the privilege to call this man our Papa Joe. In addition to us, Papa Joe was also a great-grandfather to four wonderful great-grandkids, Tori, Bentley, Naomi, and Leo, who they also called him Papa Joe. Papa Joe was the kindest, most loving, positive human being I've ever encountered in my life. He never complained about anything and always had a smile on his face. When Papa Joe and Nanny Esther lived in their Stewart Park house, I used to go over there for dinner. At every single dinner I went to, he would tell my grandmother, "Esther, this is the best meal you've ever made." And my grandmother would say, "Joe, I've made this meal for you hundreds of times." But to Papa Joe, every meal that he ate that Nanny Esther cooked for him was the best meal ever. He loved to eat and he had so much joy with Nanny Esther's cooking. At our dinners, after our dinners, we would always play ping pong in the basement or watch Seinfeld episodes. He would always talk about Boeing and the classes he was teaching there. He was so excited to talk about his classes and his students. Teaching aviation classes brought him so much joy. Just a few days ago, the nurses at the Klein Gallen home told us that every night he would sit in his bed reading his U.S. Naval Aviation books. His passion for aviation never, ever left him. When I was in high school, I was taking a very difficult math class. It was a tough class that even my parents couldn't help me with my homework. So instead of getting a tutor like many students in my class did, I would call my Papa Joe and spend hours on the phone with him going over math problems together. I loved doing this with him because he was often a man of few words, but when it came to math problems and equations, he would talk to me enthusiastically about it for hours. It was such a special time and connection we had. That was over 20 years ago. Just a few very short weeks ago, my daughter, Tori, started quizzing Papa Joe on his multiplication facts and other math problems. At 95 years old, he got every single question correct, and he did not hesitate with his answers. He was so sharp at 95 years old, and he lit up with every question Tori asked. Math still brought him so much joy. Just a few years ago, our family was celebrating his 92nd birthday at the summit. Everyone was asking him questions about his life, and someone asked him, "Do you have a favorite memory or a favorite time period in your life that you look back on?" His answer amazed me. He said, "I don't have a favorite memory or time period in my life because every single day of my life was better than the previous day." He lived this way through his positive outlook, kind spirit, and gentle demeanor. Just like every single meal Nanny Esther made for him was the best meal he ever had, every single day of his life was the best day of his life and better than his yesterday. We are all going to miss this exceptional, one-of-a-kind man with all of our hearts. But if we can all make each day of our own lives a little better than our own yesterday, just like Papa Joe did, he will live in our hearts forever. Thank you.
Our sages say that dvarim hayotzim min halev, things that words that come out of the heart, if nasim halev, go back into the heart. And the words of Doug and of Stephanie certainly have that impact. It's just a real honor, excuse me, to be part of this tribute to Joe. Joe was a president of Ezra Beserith between 1972 and 1973, and we were talking, Esther and I were talking, and she said that whenever you'd go out and pass by the synagogue, Joe had to go in to make sure everything was okay, go up on the roof, he would. And when somebody is committed to something, so they go beyond the call of duty. And that seems to typify everything that Joe did in his life. That's what he was all about. So it might reflect itself in his work at Boeing, might reflect itself in his community work, but he was a person who went above and beyond. Just want to make mention once again, I saw in the program and mentioned already, the four great-grandchildren, Joe and Esther, Tori, Bentley, Naomi, and Leo, who he just adored, and grandchildren Stephanie and Tony, David and Kristen, Jennifer and Leslie. It's a really beautiful family with parents who had a very deliberate way of educating their children. When I went to do a little bit of research on Joe's professional career, because Esther wrote me a few notes about what he did in his early years before he was working his engineering work here in Seattle. He was involved in two very important missile programs. The Bullmark missile program is one of them. And another one was called the Minuteman missile program. And I did some research on it. It was unbelievable, the kinds of research and technology that Joe was involved in his early years. Literally, protect the security of his country. So before he became a citizen and worked at Boeing as a profession, he was involved in some of the top security programs of his country. And Esther mentioned that they were in Fort Walton Beach in Florida. He worked there at the Eglin Air Force Base. Then he was transferred to McGuire Air Force Base, and I think it was in Trenton, New Jersey for a while, and Esther followed him around. So I was looking at that professional resume, missiles, planes, all this harsh stuff that Joe was involved in. And then I listened to the description by Marsha and Leslie, Joyce, by Joyce, of their father's personality. And there seemed to be a very, very stark contrast between the profession of being involved in missiles and planes and the quiet, unassuming person that Joe was. And I thought I would take a few minutes with you to reflect on the qualities of Joe from a Jewish perspective. And it will turn out that if you wanted to write a handbook on what it means to be a good Jew, Doug used the word mensch. So that's a Yiddish term. I speak Ladino. You know, Chazan Ezos, who's very close with the family for many years, has taught me well to speak Ladino. But it's the same thing. It's the same idea. It's like the fifth volume of the Code of Jewish Law. There's things that you do, there's how to behave, and then there's what you are. And Joe was a ben adam. Now the verse in the book of Proverbs says, "Ozen shomat tochachat chayim," an ear that hears the rebuke that sometimes comes to us from life experience, "bekerav chachamim talmidim." That same ear will rest with chachamim, with the wise, with the sages. And the commentaries explain that if you're a person who's a listener, and you're willing to look at your life experiences and be redirected and to correct your behavior ever so subtly, privately, then you're a person who's clearly interested in absorbing information and direction that will help your life. And therefore, the ear that hears the rebuke of daily life is an ear that also hears wisdom. And Joe was a listener. His daughters told me how he just, when he'd look at you, you'd know that he was with you, that he was listening to every word you're saying, and he was processing it. It's a very Jewish idea, being a listener. In fact, our sages praised the quality of listening and the quality of shtika, of silence. One rabbi in Pirkei Avot says, "I looked all around and I didn't find anything that was as good for the body as shtika, as silence." I would think that he would say, "I never found anything better for the soul inside, it's like a body." I want to maybe answer that by reflecting on the length of days. Joe was 95, right? 95 years old. Arichut yamin, length of days, is a tremendous blessing that many people in our community have been blessed with. But we all know that when a person is at ease, when a person has peace of mind, when their relationships are solid and without conflict, this, of course, contributes to physical health as well, and to length of days. So when the rabbi in Pirkei Avot, the ethics of our fathers, said, "I didn't find anything as good for the body as silence," what he maybe was hinting at is that silence, of course, is a key to spiritual development, to personal development, that simultaneously it's also a key to physical strength and a relaxed, calm personality. That's why I never found anything for the body as good as silence. There's also other statements about silence that we can look to. And I think Marsha mentioned to me that her dad supported silently everything that they did. He was silent in his support, and sometimes he didn't support it, but was silent, and expressed his confidence in the independence and the maturity of his daughters by being silent. It's another famous thing. The shem shekibalti schar al hadrisha, just like many times I've received merit for speaking, for explaining things, קיבלתי שכר על הפרישה. I've also sometimes got merit for being silent. And sometimes that exhibits a great deal of strength in a person, to be able to know the boundaries, to understand how to give another person. And with children, it's very challenging because a parent always wants to correct their children. I'm a parent. I know that I love giving my child direction. But sometimes you give direction, and you build a person through silence. And that was something that was very much a part of Joe's life and his character. And then, of course, there's the question of how to handle children when you're angry at the children. Do you raise your voice? How do you reprimand them in the childbearing years and his raising children? And we have a tremendous directive from the great sage Maimonides, the Rambam, who says that most of the time the qualities that a person is supposed to have are to be directed towards the middle ground, middle of the road. But he says there is a quality that one should be an extremist about, this quality, and that is anger. One should never get angry. It's a sin to get angry. That's pretty scary. So he says, well, how do you direct children? How do you educate children? The Rambam says you have to feign anger. So maybe the kids should close their ears here. Because it basically means that when your parents get angry at you, they're just pretending in order to get you on the right path. But I don't even know if Joe ever feigned anger. He was soft-spoken. He was calm. And through that calmness and that ease and that sense of self that Joe had, he was able to silently direct, educate, and maybe even reprimand. It's all silent. And it's a wonderful, wonderful trait for a person to have. Then I thought about one more concept as it pertains to Joe and his character. Once again, in the ethics of our fathers, Ezehu mechubad, who is honored? Hamechabed et habriot, one who honors other people. And you would think that someone would attain honor by advertising themselves, by promoting themselves. In fact, in our day and age, people are very much into self-promotion. But sort of paradoxically, who gets honor, who receives honor according to the Torah? Somebody who honors other people. So that doesn't make much sense. It's not a natural flow. Because if you give other people honor, you're showing that you are perhaps a little bit lesser than them, and they deserve the honor. So how does that make you a person who receives honor? It doesn't make any sense. So one of our classical commentaries says that when you show your humility towards other people, when you honor them and you exhibit humility, you indicate your own level of refinement. You show that you are a refined human being. And that naturally draws other people's honor. So just the opposite of what one might think, that I pursue honor, I will get honor. If I avoid honor and I show that I see the tzelem Elokim, the divine image in everybody, that itself will be an indicator to other people of my own level, of my own refinement. And this is something that Joe excelled in. He honored other people, he respected other people, he gave his children silent direction, he heard them, he listened to them, and by doing that, he himself became a magnet for honor. And one other point that I heard from Joe's daughters is that he respected them, but he respected their individuality. And that's also something that's challenging for a parent, to look at a child and to respect their individuality. The parent feels responsible for the child, as we said before, wants to direct the child. But this is very, very well entrenched in our tradition. When Jacob was on his deathbed, when Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed, he gave each of his children a bracha. And it says in the Torah, Ish kebirkato berachotam, that everyone gave a bracha to each child according to his blessing. So commentators explain that each of the children had a different strength and a different quality. And he recognized the quality in every child. And he wanted them to excel in those areas that they already had a leaning towards, that they already had an aptitude for. And so his blessing was for each and every child individually. Ish kebirkato berachotam. That everyone according to the bracha, to the blessing, it was appropriate for them as an individual. So there's honor, there's silence, there's respect for individuality. But the best story of them all, it comes out through having a dialogue with the Biel family, is when Esther and Joe first met. and I think he wanted to go to a movie, right? He wanted to go to the movies, and he didn't want to go to the movies. He wanted to go to a restaurant, right? Because in a movie, what are you doing in a movie? Two of you are sitting in a chair. You're looking at a screen, and you're not interacting. But Joe, in his nimble fashion, his classic fashion, was a listener. So the way he wanted to approach this relationship was to first and foremost set the tone for himself as a listening person and as a future husband who would listen and process and interact and engage. And it was that start to the marriage that produced the family that we have here today. And so we'll miss Joe Piha very, very much. But we summarize his life. When we look at his life, we see that literally he could have written a handbook of what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be a mensch, what it means to be